Do we have somebody around with a flag to do that stuff? Any flags? There, oh, nice. All right, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I think there's a Zoom permission to sit while you do the flag. I hope. If not, I'm being sinful. Okay, please answer if you're here. Ray Bowers.
Here.
Jim Butler.
Jim's here.
Jim. Oh, I see him. Chris Carlone.
Present.
Brian Capolo.
I'm here.
Rob Forte. Mike Gray.
Here.
Carlo Malerva.
Here.
Rose Bertoso. Where are you, Rose? Did we see her? I thought I saw Rose. Rose? No? Sammy?
Here.
Astro. And I'm here. Okay, we have a quorum. We don't need one anyway.
Rose is logged on.
Okay, thank you. So we got nine. Okay, so Rob's the only one we're missing right now. Before we start with numbers, is there anyone here from the public who wishes to speak? Anybody from the public who wishes to speak?
Madam Chairman, I'd like to just address the board and then I'm going to bow out of the meeting because I'm down in Florida on vacation.
Sure, go ahead.
First, I want to acknowledge all the hard work that the group is doing. I really do appreciate it, and I hope the citizens of Derby will appreciate it. The countless hours that you guys are putting in is very much not an easy thing to do, and I watched you meeting after meeting go over all of the cost items and so forth, and do your very best to bring it down to as low as we can possibly get it. So I want to thank you for that. I also want to thank you for at least up to this point, the amount that you've allocated for the Board of Ed. I was very happy to see that, especially since they've been zero the last two budget cycles. The area that I also want to thank Keith too, while we're publicly acknowledging people. Keith has worked very well with me during the transition and has made sure that he's kept me in the loop with all of the financial considerations in putting the budget together, which I greatly appreciate, and we're on the same page moving forward. The area that I wanted to address, I know as you get ready to set your mill rate, you're going to have to focus on the percent of collections. And I think given the COVID, the massive unemployment that we face in our country, the number of small and even medium-sized businesses that are closing, I think it's going to be near impossible to get a 99% collection rate this year, maybe even a 98. And I would encourage you to strongly consider a 97% collection rate. I realize that will raise the mill rate for this year by a little, but the consequences of setting it too high and falling short mean a deficit for next year. The consequences of setting it too low and being pleasantly surprised means we'll have a surplus, which you can return to the taxpayers in the next fiscal year, which I would also recommend that you do. I would hate to see us go through all of this process and trim the budget as far as possible, set the mill rate, and then wind up with a deficit facing us next year. We're in such uncertain times, I think it's physically prudent and wise to aim a little bit lower, even if that means we wind up with a surplus. So that's all I really have to say.
All right, thank you. Just for the record, that was Walt Mayhew, our treasurer. I need your address, Walt, just for the record, because it's public.
3 Ginetti Drive.
3 Ginetti Drive. Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to speak? Anybody else from the public? Last call, anybody else from the public? Okay, I'm gonna close the public portion. What we're gonna do tonight is Keith, who's probably the primary calculator of our revenue and a lot of our expense items from City Hall, and a lot of the big ones, such as the medical and all the benefits and everything. He has gone back through and just scoured everything, and he has been able to find a few things that he's been able to restate. So things are looking a little better. And so our main purpose tonight is for him to go through the budget and show us what he has found. When he is done with that, then we will relook at where we stand. I will give you guys a chance if you want to make any last minute changes. And then we will, whatever we come up with there, then that's what we'll come in to vote on Thursday night as a preliminary budget. Does that sound okay? Does sound great. All right, so Keith, do you want to take it away?
Sure, ma'am, thank you, good evening. What I want to do, I had emailed and delivered this report just this afternoon to everyone. And what I want to do is go through where some modifications were made, whether they were up, down, or we changed the number based on better data that we have year to date. So the way I'll do this, we have it in front of you, is for example, for revenues, the first one I'll talk about is the miscellaneous revenue. Now, we upped that from the original proposal of 27,142 to 77,152. It's still down from the prior years. Now, why we upped it is we have constantly, a miscellaneous revenue, constantly got received between 110 and 180,000 above budget. And the budget, what happens is when we don't have good line items on the revenue side, things that come in just get dropped into miscellaneous revenue. So the better we're able to quantify the remaining line items, less goes in miscellaneous revenue. So by going to 27, I know it was too light. So I put in 77,152 because we roughly get from the state of Connecticut some unanticipated revenues that don't fall in the statutory formulas. So rather than keep the 116, we're going to 77,152. Now it's a downturn, but that's because we adjusted some of the remaining line items with more accurate numbers for them for the fiscal year. So that's the first change we made, because if we artificially overstate revenue, just as Mr. Mayhew said, if you overstate your revenue, you don't get it. We have a bigger crisis than if we understate. That's called being conservative. The next item I changed was, let me scroll down here, was in the building permits. 66,6604. We have constantly broken 200,000. Our year to date right now for building permits is 161,000. We do anticipate that we're going to get to the 180. I don't foresee that to be a problem. We do have the permits that still have to be pulled for bigger development next year. So rather than go to what you had this year, which is 250, which I think is high. Now, in prior years, we were getting it. Carl has been very aggressive in getting permit fees. I wanted to trim that a little bit because we're not even going to break the 180 this year. So we know there's new developments coming next year. We know there's new permits being pulled. We believe that 200 is a safe number. We're going to get to 180 this year. But we had thought 160, but we see some uptick in permits. There's some major permits being submitted. The fuel cell permit is coming our way, the development on Southside Main Street, not the big one, the one that's over by Beretta's. So we're comfortable with upping that to 200 and not being over aggressive. The workers' comp reimbursement, which is the 150 right here, that is simply we have some claims that are going to hit the stop loss. We're going to be coming back to you. We have one that we have to pay settlement. We'll go into executive session on that in a later meeting. But we're going to get 150 in for claims that are pending that are going to hit the stop loss. We're not going to get 100. We're going to get to 150. That was confirmed today. So that's a hard number. The interest on bond proceeds. This is a number that Walter and I had some philosophical discussions about. We want to be completely transparent with you as a board. This is money, as we borrow bonds, and although the market's not yielding, high returns and they continue, 10 basis points above the 10-year treasury is not giving you much. It's giving you 1.7%. But right now, the interest on bond proceeds has always been 5,000. And what we've done with the interest on the bond proceeds is we've often used it, which is an allowable expense to pay off interest on the bonds when we have our debt schedule. We've accumulated about 200,000 in this line. Now, the thought here is we can draw 100,000 down of that 200,000 of accrued interest and use it to help offset the interest in the debt that's in the expense side. We do not want to, we do not want to use all of it because we are going to have an uptick in the coming years in bond indebtedness. So we want to keep some of that reserve to smooth out the impact in year two or three. We did have a talk about not putting it in here. And if putting it in here, what does it really buy us? Does it buy us a substantial reduction in the mill rate? And you could go both ways with that. The reason I left it in is if you then start to reduce the percent collection, anything we have this year is going to help that. If you go from 99 to 98, it's an uptick, a downtick of 230,000 in revenue. And we take this 100 out, you're talking about 330. So we left it in there with the understanding that we're not using all of the interest accrued on unused bar proceeds because we want to use the other 100 in a subsequent year when the amount of interest you pay in your bond line items goes up. The other thing we talked about, the WPCA bonds, that is a complete pass-through. So on the other side of the ledger, you have $1.6 million that is an expense for the WPCA bonds. So we're comfortable using that. We're leaving all of the other items as you had them last week. On the expense side, I'll go department by department so everyone can follow along. We did not touch the mayor's lines. That remained at 188,761. We did not touch probate court. We left finance committee alone. We left town clerk alone.
Just one quick, Keith. On that last one you sent, there's some minor differences in like all of the salaries. It's just like $5 or something. So if people see that on there, they'll know it's just, I guess, a...
We went back in and I'm losing this. I don't know why I have something. Do you see the spreadsheet? Or do you see like a Microsoft Chrome? What do you see?
Like if I look at the town clerk wages
on
mine.
What do you see on the screen?
For you right now?
Yeah. You see the spreadsheet?
Yep.
All right. Something's blocking me. All right.
I see your PDF for the...
Yeah, that's fine.
Gems. Yeah.
Yeah, what we did was we went back and over the last couple of days, we tore apart every line item and we did every person again. We recalculated again. We recalculated taxes. We wanted to make sure. And then some of them, there was a rounding issue where it might have been a $3 or $4 swing. And if you see small incremental changes in the salary lines, we did it as of the latest and we used right off the collective bargaining agreements.
Correct. Yeah, and it's not a problem. I just want everybody to know because they're going to see little differences there so they know what that is.
The registrar remained the same. Legal services the same. IT is the same. Treasurer is the same. Insurances. I want to talk about insurances because you'll see... You'll see an uptick right here. What is this, 30,000? As we peeled away the onion in our liability and property, you have a premium, and a premium is a firm price for the coverages. What was never budgeted for, and we want to budget for it, because if we have claims, we have a deductible. So on the general liability, we have a $15,000 deductible. On the property, we have a $10,000 deductible. So in the line for insurances, there was never any money for the deductible, just the straight premium. So while the premium up above is $468.66 for the year, that just gives you your coverage for your premium. Any claims that come in, the budget, that budget line item, which was for the premium, was paying the deductibles. And that's why we constantly would be in trouble in the insurance line, because you really shouldn't take the deductible out of the premium line. So what I did here was we looked at the last 3 years with the broker, and we spent about $35,000 a year on deductibles. And so that means if there's three claims, and the three claims are each $5,000, we absorb all $15,000 because none of them hit the deductible. But we had no money in the budget to pay those. So what I'm doing here is to be prudent, is I'm asking we fund the premium, which is the $460, and that we have a line for the deductible. So when we have claims against us, if it doesn't hit the deductible, we have money to pay it without tapping into the premium line, which will only make the premium short when it's time to pay the premium. So I think, I know we have to put this in here because it's only going to make the liability line short should there be any claims. So that's one change we made there. Employee benefits. Right here, the 2092 and the 3998. If you see, we kept them flat. And if you recall, we had gone up $260,000 based upon the renewal and based upon our intent to start to build that reserve. So we have a surplus this year in some of our revenue lines, and I'll give you a summary of that at the next meeting, where we're able to keep this flat with the understanding, and the board, I'm going to present to the board a motion at a later meeting because it's for the current fiscal year, that the surpluses in miscellaneous revenue and the surplus in interest and lien fees be moved down to the medical reserve account. And we're going to be able to put the $206,000 out of the current year into that medical reserve. And then that offsets an increase of $206,000 in these line items for the new year. So what we're basically doing is taking surplus money and we're building a reserve for the medical, and we're not taxing next year for the increase in the medical premium. And that's a prudent thing to do because it's A, building a medical reserve, B, we're able to reduce the tax amount to the taxpayers, and C, they're not being taxed to pay for something that we may not have to expend money on. So we're gonna build a reserve using the surplus from the current year in miscellaneous revenue and interest and lien fees, and that'll absorb the increase that was originally in this budget 2 weeks ago. And that's a cost avoidance of about $206,000. The next item we touched was we touched the police department, just a few dollars on the secretary's salary. I'll make sure I get the right one, right here. That was $55.60 versus $55.47. That was a change we made there. I took the change into account in the fire marshal secretary, which was at $750.
Can you go back to the police department again?
Yes, sir. Hang on 1 second. The total, Mr. Butler, or one of the other line items?
Police department. Speaking with a couple of aldermen this week, they've put a hiring freeze in place. And there'll be at least one officer retiring in the beginning of the new budget. So you can pretty much take out of patrolman's wages about $75,000 there.
Well, if the chief is on, I'll let him talk about it. But you see right here, Mr. Butler, they did move one of the officers that's still a part of the office that's still employed, not yet retired. He's on a terminal leave. They did drop some money into the $27,591. If the chief's on, Judy, I would defer to him about the hiring and manpower. Is he on or no?
But the alderman said there's a freeze on new hires. They're not going to hire anybody.
Correct, Jim. And the chief and both myself were on at an alderman's meeting 2 months ago, and we made it very clear that when he does run out of his sick time and his vacation time and everything that's supposed to end, which is like – anywhere between October and November. I'm not sure of the date. He wants to know that he can come back to them. And it is not a new hire. It is a replacement to keep his staff there. And I caution them, as I caution this tax board, that if you're a man down and then they have to tap into overtime, they're going to be coming to us in February or March of next year saying that they're a man down and they're constantly having to fund because of that.
Ms. So, Sam, quick question for you. How many people or how many members of the police force did the alderman approve for, and how many are we at now?
The alderman approved for an allotment, and whatever that is, we're at that allotment right now. Okay?
You know,
are you sure? Because we'd like to double check.
Because when Mascola proposed that 4-2 work week, he sent out an email to everybody that he could run the department with 30 officers.
Yeah, listen,
I believe
we've been down that road 2-3 years. The 4-2 schedule has been on there for 2-3 years. I'm answering your question as far as not a new hire. It is a replacement for a man who is there so we can keep our staff. And we made it clear to them, and the alderman said, when the time comes, you can bring that up. And we're hoping to get somebody as a lateral transfer and not a new hire, because boots to the ground, you know, it takes a year to get them on.
You're right. Bring them on.
Right. So we made it very clear when the alderman put that on the agenda 2 months ago, spoken on behalf of that.
Yes, Sam's that was completely about different. And that if
and when the time comes,
coming after the number of cops,
we are going to be, we'll address it at that time. So they didn't make it sound like it was a deal, but I'm going to caution the tax board, the overtime that they're going to have to backfill for that, they're going to be coming back to us and they're going to be over budget.
The chief's coming on in 2 minutes, guys. I just called him just so we have him on board.
I'd assume when the alderman did that, they did a definition of what a hiring freeze is, exactly how that works.
They were not going to bring in anybody who's not already there. Just like the bookkeeper's position at City Hall. It's there. It's funded. They just haven't filled it. But we've appropriated the money. It's no different. The money's already appropriated for an officer.
Okay, thank you, Sim.
Katie, can you and Mark just watch the waiting room? Because the chief is going to come on in a second.
I am.
Okay, thank you, Mark. You want me to go, Judy, and then we'll come back?
Yeah, we'll come back when he's on.
Okay, we did have the final number for the sanitation fire department. We didn't touch. OEM, we didn't touch. Fire marshal, we just did this reduction of the 750 for his car maintenance. Okay, we left miscellaneous capital with the deduct from the base 285 to 200. Highway, we just tweaked some of the salary lines just to make sure they were accurate. We were especially maintainer twos right here. There was a shift between maintainer twos and fours, so we realigned that. Highway department, city electricity, we left. I want to talk about city electricity just if we can for a moment, Judy. We're leaving the city electricity flat. Now, there's supposed to be a correlation between the Johnson Control Project and the reduction in energy costs. Now, keeping in mind the Johnson Control Project is not yet finished and they're still debating about the solar panels, where to put them and what the yield is going to be on that. They do have engineer estimates as to what savings we would see in the various electrical line items for the work already performed. And we could take those engineer estimates and put them in here and take some reductions to the lines. In talking with Mark Izzo, and Mark, feel free to chime in if you want, but if I misspeak on what we kind of discussed, what we discussed was this. If we start reducing these energy lines now, not having even a half a year of real utility bills, because the projects were still going on and just finishing up for some of the energy saving programs, plus our building usage has gone down for the last March, April, May, June, 4 months. So the electricity numbers from March on are skewed in two directions. One direction for two ways. One, they're skewed because the bills show the energy changes they made, like changing the ballast and changing some of the flow meters. But they also skewed downward because of usage is down. So we said, look, it would behoove us not to reduce these lines for this coming budget. Let us get a true usage, meaning buildings operational, we get full maximization of the energy efficient programs they put in. And if there's savings in those lines, they'll be recognized in those lines, drop down to the bottom, and they become part of our fund balance. And then for next year's budget, with the panels hopefully up and running, but at least if not the panels, at least all these other energy efficient enhancements they've done, we would have had a good year of real usage to see what the real savings is. Otherwise, we're taking engineer estimates. We would be plugging them in here with no real data, no real usage. And Mark and I both felt it's not the right time to do that. So I explain all this because someone's going to say very quickly, hey, you did this energy management program. How come there's no savings in the energy lines? And I want you to understand there's no savings that we're taking because One, the full project's not done, and two, the usage of the buildings and the bills are completely skewed for the last 4 months. Mark, would you agree with that's where we're standing you and
I on this? That's what you and I talked about. I mean, we don't have enough run rate to figure out, and those promise numbers from the Johnson Controls. I don't trust those numbers right now. So I think, like you said, Keith, you know, Keith and I did the same thing. We kept our numbers flat from last year, even though I know generation costs are going up a little bit. So we just didn't reflect that. So we kept it flat, and then we'll have some history behind us, and we'll see what next year brings. And if we end up being a little bit, you know, under budget, then so be it. Then it's, a pickup for next year.
So that's the strategy and our thinking behind these line items. You just want to know. Judy, Jerry's saying you can't get in, or Mark, Jerry's saying you can't get in. Okay, and then the other thing we did, we took into account the final price for the trash removal and the recycling. So we adjusted that number, and you see it's a $20,000 savings from what the original budget had. But it's just a slight increase from the current year, 1900. The only thing I want to share with the library, because I don't want to spend all night on it, it's a very simple concept. If here was the grants, we have zero in here, and we have, because when the grants come in, if we have a grant, we'll come to you. You raise the revenue, raise the expenses, and we post the grant. It would skew the number if I left that in there. So I left the grants in there. The other one I want to discuss, just so there's everyone is on the same page, and tomorrow there's not 100 emails saying we're taking the seniors' money. Down here, the restricted transportation. Okay, we took it out of next year's budget because it shouldn't have been in this year's budget, because this is money that actually the city had from that account they closed. So when you keep it in the budget where we have it, it was unfortunately taxed. We taxed for the $25,000 because you didn't see it on the revenue side. So what I'm doing here is taking it out of next year. When this year ends, it's completely the senior center money. There's about $20,000 left in it now. That money will drop into a designated fund that is not part of 001. And that money is still available for the seniors to use for transportation. But it's not going to be part of the operating budget. Therefore, it doesn't skew what we tax. So it's still the seniors' money. No one's taking their money. It's still going to be designated for transportation, but it's going to be in its own fund that they will still use for any expenses associated with their transportation in accordance with that grant money. So that's the one change. I want everyone to understand. It's still their money. And we're not using it for anything than what they're going to use it for. City Hall did a slight uptick recalculation of the full-time custodian. That was a small change I made. Citywide agency, we took out the Derby Early Childhood, spoke to team. He's good with it. He doesn't use it. It's defunct, so that went down to a zero from the 6750. Took about many, many tries to find out who the right person was with this, but we got them and they're out. And then that is the only changes we made to what's proposed tonight. Now, what I want to share with everybody is a quick overview, a very quick overview, because everyone keeps saying, you know, where's all this increase coming from and what do we do with it? And okay, so this is a very macro level overview. What was presented tonight on the expense side has an increase of $3.443 million. In that expense side, there's a pass-through, that's the P, of $589,000, which is the uptick in the sewer bonds. The WPCA pays us for that, so that's taken off of the $344. Plus, there's an uptick in Alliance. That's a pass-through because it's on the revenue expense side. So we're really down to a $2.3 million increase in the budget after the pass-throughs come out. Now, what are we obligated for? Obligated being either it's a general wage increase, which is a contract, obligated being it's a lease payment that was approved through the board cycle, obligated being it's a requirement for fund balance, obligated being it's insurances that we have to pay due to policy or premiums. So we have the TD Bank JCI 500,000. That should have been in this year's budget. It was not. We negotiated deferral till next year. The alderman approved it. So that is an obligation, a liability to the city that we have to pay. That's 500,000. The fire lease is for the turnout gear. That was approved in the capital plan last year, so at the beginning of 1920. It was never put in the budget. So you have to pay that next year. That's an obligation of the city. This general wage increase is 282. It's an extraction of all of the departments and all the salaries. So you're not going to be able, if you go look at departments and you add up their increases, this 282 is embedded within their increases. But if you just extract GWI, which are contractual obligations in which the city is obligated to pay, you're at 282 reduction. The fund balance replenishment, that's a commitment we made that we would slowly build up our fund balance to the targeted bogeys as set by the rating agencies. Next year, we have an uptick from the 1.5 to the, from the 1.2 to the 1.5. That's an uptick of about 300,000. That leaves 1.2 million after we take out the pass-throughs and certain obligations like GWI, fund balance replenishment, the approved leases, and the long-term debt for TD Bank. So insurances are up 54,620. Insurances being primarily that 30,000 that I'm putting in, which we are obligated for claims if we have a claim to pay. Benefits, this is the any of the benefits associated with employees. That's another uptick of 25,000. You take payroll taxes, social security taxes, it's 44,000. So net of what is obligations, contractual or general wage increase, collective bargaining, we're down to 1.1 million of increase. 75,000 is that one line item that this, now this is discretionary now. 75,000 is the one line item that the mayor's office asked we put in for matching, because right now we're losing the opportunity on certain matching grants because we don't have a line for matching. That's 75,000. What you've approved to the Board of Ed to date is 680,000. That leaves 357,000 of incremental expenses through the entire $48 million budget. So that is on a macro level where we stand. So when there's concern that the budget is built up with a lot of new money, it's really not. The new money sits right here and right here. Everything else is contractual or obligated. So I put this so you have some framework in a thought pattern to see, like, we're not talking about a lot of new money here that is going into the operating budget. So that's all I have, Madam Chair. I will send this to everybody so they have it. But this is, again, a macro summary of the increases.
Does anybody have, before, Jerry, are you in a rush? Anybody have any questions for Keith? And then we'll talk to Jerry about his patrolman quantity. Anybody for Keith? Okay, Jerry, why don't you go ahead? Do you want to set it up for him? I believe Mr. Butler's comment was because of the wage freeze by the Board of Aldermen, that we should knock down one of your patrolmen. So that's what we're addressing. Keith will put it up there for you. Fitting? Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Is Sam online?
Yep. Sam is.
Okay. Well, the first comment I'll make to that is that I publicly stated that basically the Board of Aldermen, although they have it, a clause in there that says they can adjust the number of patrolmen from time to time. The police commission is the board that actually hires and fires. Last I spoke to them when I was at the Board of Aldermen, they said this is only a temporary hiring freeze. And their indication was to move forward with my hiring process for lateral transfer. So they have every indication of keeping that staffing level the same. So does that answer the question, or do you want to go deeper?
Jared, I kind of briefed them on the Alderman's meeting when I spoke and both you spoke, and I sent to them everything that you had said, and I made it very clear this is not a new topic with the platform. And I also cautioned, also being a tax board member, that being understaffed, not sure when people go out on workman's comp or sick leave or whatever the case may be, you might be coming to us with you know, in February, March of next year with overtime if we are in fact short. We're hoping for a lateral move. You have said it to us time and time again that if we get a new hire from the academy, boots to the ground, it's a year. So that was, I expressed the concern that we had stressed to the aldermen about all those things.
Yep. I'll give you my budgeting philosophy. Do you want to give me control?
I don't have it.
Can I share my screen?
Yeah, go ahead, Judy. You want to give Jerry? Go ahead, Jerry. I'm sorry, Chief. I think I'm
okay, hold on.
Stopped. So,
no problem. Let me see if I can get in here. And let me open up a document. Hold on 1 second. I wasn't prepared for this. You're just going to have to bear with me 1 second to find my presentation here. Figures I can't find something when I need it. All right, I don't have the ability to pull it up right at the moment. I'm just going to go off of an old presentation I have on my tablet. I'm going to multitask here. So my budgeting philosophy off the top of my head was we're three people short right now. I have one person that's out on terminal leave. So the remainder of that patrolman's wages have moved to a terminal leave line until I'm ready to backfill that position. And I believe that's sometime in October. I have another individual out on workers' compensation right now. We are self-insured at the department level for workers' compensation. Without getting into too much detail with confidentiality, the last discussions are looking for a permanent light duty position, which means there's an option of this person never returning back to work. I have a third person on family medical leave, planning on possibly returning sometime in September, October. So I'm three people down right now. Vacations haven't started yet. So the thing that ends up happening with me is my vacation time can span over two fiscal years, but one hiring year for somebody. So I'm going to have a glut of overtime that's going to be required to backfill. Now my plan, I plan for two contingencies. One is to hire from the academy and place somebody into the academy. If that occurs, you're not going to see a physical academy start date until maybe April, March timeframe. So I won't be using your actual wage line until then. The more likely contingency is that I'll hire somebody as a lateral transfer. In this day and age, it's more possible than it was 3 months ago, where somebody will be looking to come from another agency, fully certified. I'll save a year of training, over $100,000 in equipment and training and FTO to get them on the road. And with that, they could actually start working sometime in October and counting towards road strength, where I don't have to backfill at time and a half. if we don't backfill that position, that will put me at, it'll continue at -3 for a period of time. And the problem with me is I am unlike Public Works or WPCA. I have contractual minimum mandatory manpower, which means that if somebody is out, I have to backfill them. And that backfilling costs me time and a half instead of straight time. And I do have PowerPoint presentations on all this and why we're so busy and why we need to backfill.
Sorry to interrupt. Brian Capullo here. I just didn't want to get off track too much. What is that number of police officers you're talking about now, including the three under?
So my current staffing levels, okay, I have last year's presentation up on my tablet, so I'm going to pull that up. So my current authorized strength right now is 34 regular officers. That's one chief, one deputy, two lieutenants, six sergeants, three detectives, 21 patrolmen. I also have two supernumerary officers. The thing is with the supernumerary officers, they can supplement, they cannot supplant. So they do not count towards minimum manpower. And then I have some non-sworn employees and I have school crossing guards. So basically the question, the answer is I have 21 patrolmen, which is my authorized strength. So right now I'm down to 19.
Okay. So it's saying that the Board of Aldermen approved for 31 members within the police force. Is that correct?
No. The board of the so complicated question. The loaded question is the charter says there shall be one chief. For argument's sake, just entertain that the deputy chief is the lieutenant. So there will be one chief, one deputy chief, one lieutenant, which is really the detective sergeant, one detective. There's another one through arbitration, and the number of patrolmen as needed from time to time as designated by the Board of Aldermen. So currently, by charter, you need one. So my police force needs to be at least seven people, which is ridiculous. But that's the technical minimum manpower by charter or by contractual past practice or some type of precedent placed in. Currently, my authorized strength is 21 patrolmen, and that has not changed in a few years, several years.
Can any of the lieutenants or sergeants fill in for officers on the road and such?
They do. Not as regular, but they backfill a time and a half constantly. You have to remember that of a complement, a standard work week for a regular person is 28. Standard work year is 2080 hours. It's 40 hours a week by 52 weeks. We don't work that. We work a 4-2 schedule, which puts people off 16, 17 extra days a year. So it's a constant rotating schedule, which requires a lot of backfill. On top of that, because you have years and years of public safety history when the job didn't pay very well, they compensated those with Uber time off, vacations, fringe benefits, et cetera. And what's happened is the wages have come up, but some of our officers have 6 weeks vacation. And that needs to be backfilled at time and a half. They have a bunch of sick time. I have tried to lower those liabilities by trying to pay them off at a lower rate rather than backfilling them at time and a half. But so everybody in line can backfill for time and a half, but I can't pull someone from one position and plug them in someplace else. For example, I can't take a detective and say, you're working a day shift on the desk. That's a contractual issue. It's a change in working conditions and hours and wages.
Is there any talk about getting out of the 4-2 work week?
No. So we're on the start of a 6-year collective bargaining agreement, which 4 years are remaining of. We fought tooth and nail. My big thing was civilianization. The city. I'm going to talk about myself. I was part of the city's negotiating team. Our first thing was returning to a 5-2 work schedule. It's more cost effective. And that was an absolute Alamo for the union. What we were able to get was free training days or return of training days for those 16, 17 extra days off to the tune of, I think we get 32 hours of returned training that's already been paid for. And what we did is we lowered our training line a year or two ago because of that. But that was going to reach impasse and we would have lost that in arbitration. Any other questions or?
Anything else? Does that answer your question, Jim?
Oh yeah, no, the question was answered. I was just hit with some of this over the weekend. I was with a couple of the aldermen and they couldn't understand why, if there's one leaving, why they have to fill it, so.
Maybe well, because, they ought to come to our meeting then too, and they learn.
Yeah, so if we don't backfill it, that's fine, but I'm gonna need 1.5 times that amount in my overtime line. That's kind of what it comes down to. So this is a retirement, but you know, we can talk about layoffs and that whole thing. We go through this every few years. And I know it's a different question, but if we were to lay off an employee, remember, we're still paying them 60% of their wage. And then I'm backfilling them at time and a half. So it's going to be 210% of their wage rather than keeping them. That's what it ends up being for a certain period of time. And then I can't ever get through that hurdle of minimum manpower. And what happens is just when we're doing really good, we have a murderer that's running through town and we have protests and we have a budget that was doing okay, even with COVID, destroyed now and disseminated. So that this is what happens with Murphy's Law. I can't predict you can't predict 2020.
Yeah. I bet you can find some extra officers in Seattle though, who'd love to come to Derby.
I think you're going to find a bunch in Connecticut that would come to Derby.
Oh, really? Well, there we go. That's closer. The other ones might have a nicer story to tell. All right. Thank you very much, Jerry. I appreciate you jumping on.
I'll hang on. Okay. I'll hang on for a while in case anything pops up, and I'll look for some presentations in the background just in case. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Then if you're done, Keith, I mean, I know you'll still be here, but presenting, I'll bring up our budget the way it stands right now. All set? All right.
Yes, ma'am. If you want to put your sheet up, you can show the mill rate calculation and whatnot.
Putting up my sheet. My sheet's the cool sheet. You're giving me all the numbers, but it's my sheet. Same. All right. Here we are right now. So this is now incorporating all the adjustments that Keith made for us and that he talked to us about. So that would put us at a 2.25 mill rate increase, which is better than we saw last week. Would put our mill rate up to 44.15. You've already seen what the changes were to revenue and the changes were to the appropriations. Is there anything you guys want to visit tonight since we're all hanging out here?
Yeah, this is Brian Capola here again. I just have a quick question about the janitor's raise. I was just going through some of the numbers here.
The old city hall?
Can you circle back to that, please?
The one at the old city hall you're talking about?
No, I believe, let's see where I found it.
I think that was the raise.
Oh, Mark just asked me that same question.
Really?
Yeah, the senior center, right?
There's going to be a test at the end, I think. So I think the only janitor that went up. Let me see.
No, the senior center Mark asked about. I think.
Oh, that senior center? Center? Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. Yeah, Mark just asked that same question.
See, we have a janitor over here too. That I don't know if we changed though. Just saying. Yeah. Janitor. See, we changed the janitor at City Hall too. Just saying.
So the custodian wages, the janitor payroll, and did the exact calculation over what they have in the collective bargaining or what they're being paid. Remember, I said earlier some of these had small changes to. It's not a change in time, so there's no. That is right out of the payroll what he would be making. Now remember, they've been closed for months, so that the year-to-date line is not going to be accurate.
There it is. I didn't even call janitor. Here is he, custodian. The same as a janitor. Does that answer your question, Brian?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. All the red numbers, by the way, are numbers that have changed since we have changed from the requested. I was looking at the other mill rates in the valley, and we don't look so hot, I got to tell you. We're not shining. I don't know of any other practical, really, changes we can make. Anything from here would have to be something kind of drastic, where we cut enough to a department that they would have to let go of somebody because they couldn't pay their salary. But that's pretty draconian, I think. I'm sure the alderman would want to be in on that. Otherwise, this will be what we vote on. Obviously, we don't have to approve this, but this would be our starting point for Thursday for the prelim. So I assume the sound of silence is submission or agreement. All right. Pizza's ready. On the is our working balance high enough, Keith? I know our special working balance is as per the things we wanted to put away.
Yeah, I had 47, I think we had in there.
49, 121.
I mean, 49, 60, that's a good number. I mean, 60
is. It usually pops up anyway as things change
it'll pop
around.
Up as things come in, so I didn't change that.
All right. Anything? Anybody? So we will meet back
going
here.
This is Brian Cole here. Just going back to the library. Is there anything we could do at the library just to get a little more breathing room?
I think they stayed pretty flat. Let's see.
It increased. I think it was. Right.
They did increase.
Was it the programs?
It's a grant, though. Part of that isn't even a real increase. It's 21,000. That's really just the grant that they didn't have booked in the previous one. I'd love to change the way we handle grants. It just doesn't make sense. That out stayed flat. So actually, let's see what that thing is over there. Okay, we're actually up 8, but since we have that grant in there, we took that out.
It is starting revenue side here.
I don't have that in there now. Okay. So that brought us down to 8. Yeah, I don't. Nicole was here one of our first meetings. Not really. I mean, that's why we have everybody come in, Brian, and then that's the good opportunity. We'll assume that we're going to have to go up and so kind of get stuff from them then.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, Judy.
Yeah.
It's Ray. Probably Ray wants to talk about that, but I've heard on a number of occasions that in something like 10 to 12 years, the turf on the new fields will have to be replaced. And I believe it's a significant investment. And I don't know, maybe when that time comes, that's something that gets capitalized. I don't know. But or is it something that we start preparing for now? I had heard a number of 1 million. I don't know if that's an accurate number. I'd hate for us to say every year, this is not a good year, this is not a good year. And then 10 years from now, we need to come up with $1 million. As opposed to if you put a little bit aside every year for the next 10 to 12 years. And then when you get there, the money's there. And again, I don't know how that would get treated. I don't know if the number I heard is even accurate.
It's accurate, and that's about the window. 10 to 12 years, Ray, is, why 12, why versus 10? If you properly maintain it in accordance with the specs, which is the right grooming and the lay of the rubbering at this X number of times a year in the manual, if you maintain it in accordance with the specs, you could get 10 to 12 years out of it. 12 on the high end to properly maintain it. And their talk is it's between $7 and $1 million for a new skin and sub base.
So that's a good side. So that's at $1 million in 12 years, that's $83,000 a year. 700 divided by 12 is 58 a year.
Yeah. I'm thinking, would that be, that would be something going on the capital expenditures, don't you think, Keith? Or not, because it's maintenance?
Now, you could put it in the capital fund. The key is that it has to be in a lockbox, as I think where Ray is going, where if you appropriate, you know, 80 grand a year, it can't drop to the fund balance and roll over. It should be in its own capital reserve fund, like its own fund that no one can touch except for the project. Otherwise, you know, it's like Ray said, we skip a year or it's a tough year and we don't fund it, then we're behind.
Right. Seems like that would be a good spot for it, and we could go ahead and get it started this year.
The only thing with the capital, I'm just not making an excuse, the capital got cut by the 83,000 already.
It did.
So 280 is now 200. So if you add it back there and we put it in the capital reserve for the field, that's one thing. But if you take another 80 out of 200, if that's what you have to do, we'll do it. Just understand that there's definitely one police car. There's definitely a lot of other things go away, because then that leaves us 120.
Could we put it in with like a ramp up profile? Would that be possible?
Sure.
Instead of equal amounts every year for 12 years, we put it in and add it, put in like 10% more each year, start out kind of small and start ramping it up.
If you guys are comfortable, sure, we could do that. I think the thing is, after we're all gone, if we're not here in 9-10 years, they have to continue it. It has to be almost like the charter has an obligation to Ryan Field, or the charter has an obligation to the fire department for 10,000 a year for apparatus. You know, it's almost like they have to institutionalize it so that nobody can monkey with it. But we can put it in. We could put it in the capital plan as a ramp up, so this year would be the lowest of the values.
Okay, it's a good point, Ray. We should probably then look into that. I just, because if we look at the field.
Can I just ask one question, Drew, before you do that, while we're quantifying? Doc Conway or Mark Izzo, is the same true for the baseball skin, or is it because football gets more use, it has a shorter duration?
If I asked that question to the architects, and what they're saying is they find is that obviously we're like, you know, you see that in professional baseball. When the outfield is in that area, tends to get worn faster. So what they're saying is there's opportunities maybe to do it in pieces instead of doing the whole thing. They said you can, it's an option. They prefer you to do it all, lay it all at once. But I talked to Eric about that at one point in time. And then the infield, of course, gets beaten too. You know that.
Did you put a value on a foul line to foul line new skin? Did he give you a value on that or no? Did he give you a value on a skin from foul line to foul line?
No, no. We just talked as, you know, because I was just asking about, thinking about exactly what Ray asked. Is that, you know, come down the road here? We're going to be facing here. Football and baseball at the same time in a $2 million tag. That's a lot of area, that baseball field.
Yeah. So Judy, if we agree on a concept or a strategy with the football, I think we should try and see if Mark or Doc Conway can get a value for a replacement of the skin on baseball and institutionalize both strategies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I can get something, Keith. I'll reach out to I'll talk to Eric, and we'll get something. So you guys have something to work with, you know, a couple of options, a complete reskin, and then maybe kind of a stepped approach.
But I mean, I agree with Ray. I think we should at very least get it into the capital plan this year, even if it doesn't start out with its full glory. Kind of get it, you know, like when we put $1 in the budget, because we want to keep that in front of us. Not a dollar. I mean, we could go better, maybe $2. $3.95. I don't know. It's a lot of stuff. All right.
It's a huge expense. We know it's coming. I really think we should prepare for it.
The other thing we should address, since Mr. Mayhew brought it up, that this is based on a 99% recovery. I personally think, after living here, and I wasn't born here, but I've lived here for 20 years now.
Proactively thinking.
Well, I have found the people in Derby are very tenacious.
Yeah. And that just kind of really, really encompasses who they are as people, as a group of young people. So I'd love to start by recognizing our first senior.
Who's talking?
Hey, somebody has something going on in the background there.
Okay. Whoever it is, stop it. Thank you. I actually think that 90, I think Derby will do it. I don't care what happens. I think they'll just, they're, it's Pavlovian almost. I mean, it's time for property tax. And because we have been in worse times. Remember, we've been doing this long before the economy recovered somewhat. And everybody showed up. So just so you have an idea, though, if we were to go down to, let's say, 97.
Jesus.
We would not be $650,000 short. So we'd have to go up about a mil. I remember what I did here. Okay, that's the only thing I changed. Okay. So we would probably have to go up to like 45. No. I went too far. Not that far. 45.1. Five. Close. So yeah, we would have to, so the difference between that is about almost a mil. But I mean, it's something to be thinking about, and it could be true. This could be the year that Derby just decided not to. I mean, they'd have, they would be able to justify it. I just have a feeling that they're going to stick with their thing. Because they're from Derby. Derby doesn't falter. Is that what I had there? What did I have there? Is that right? I can't remember what I had now. Yeah, there we go. So anyway, something to think about before we do the prelim Thursday. Does anybody on the board want to comment on that? Are you guys feeling brave? You think we should be a little more cautious?
I have a separate question about the dump. Is that did they sign it to contract anyone?
Yeah. You want to see?
Yes, if you don't mind.
It went down a little bit.
It went down by 20, I think 23,000.
Oh, that's the 1,117,000?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And then, but you have to add the recycling, which is the number below, which is
there.
Two,
we are.
Two, I think it's two something.
Refuse went down almost 20,000, and the recycling went up.
$1.
Recycling stayed the same.
2,500.
And then it went up $1.
Yeah. Wow.
It's 120. Oh no, it's 127,968. What do you have there?
127,968.
Yeah, it went up 2,500 because it was 125,460.
And they gave it back to city carding.
Okay, I was looking at that. Yeah, we're good. So anyway, yeah, we went up $2,500 on the recycles, but we went down. No, we didn't. I'm looking at the wrong one. I apologize. I'm looking at the requested, the guesstimate. So it went up also about what, Sat? 67, about $75,000.
Yeah, but don't forget, you don't have enough money in the current year. Remember, Ed told you that?
Yeah.
That they, the number that got put in was imposed or somehow it's the wrong number.
Yep.
So.
Anyway, so So yeah, those are the contracts, right? As I understand.
Yes, ma'am. Approved by the Alderman last Thursday. I mean, Judy, are people comfortable with that mill rate increase, or?
No, they're being very quiet. So I don't know whether to take it as fright or agreement.
I kind of is what it is, right? We've been through the budget a number of times. We've scrubbed it pretty well.
Yeah, I don't see. I mean, we could do something foolish, obviously, or we could pick on you know who, but Dr. Conway's eyebrows go up like 4 inches. Not us. But we've been picking on him for a while, so I don't know. I mean, I frankly think it's time for the city of Derby to start doing some analysis and ratios and seeing, because I'm looking at mill rates and I'm seeing here's some things that never go up. What the frick they're doing? And it's not like they've got lots of new business, I don't think. But I was looking today.
Dr. Conway, is there any way to get out of the Alliance program?
Actually, you don't want to get out of the Alliance program. That helps support our district by about $2 million a year. So if we were to get out of the Alliance program, it would mean an increase in the local tax. Listen.
There's a lot of background.
One of the things keeping the local taxes down.
Yeah, because we'd get some advantages, but then we'd have a lot of disadvantages, and we're not going to have that help, Alliance help. So right. I think the bottom line, we're not going to.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Does anybody want to guess which town has the next to us? We have the biggest mill rate increase over the last 5 years. Does anyone want to guess what the other nearby town is that is close to us?
I have no idea.
West Haven.
Okay, Chris says West Haven, which would be wrong. Anybody else have a guess?
Nope.
Derby has gone up 6 mils in the last 5 years. There's another town that's gone up 5.25 mils in our near vicinity. You can get there in 10 minutes.
Seymour?
Huh?
Seymour?
No.
I don't know. I'm just going out town.
Seymour's actually gone down. Woodbridge. Woodbridge has gone up 5.25 mils in the last 5 years. And they have a mill rate very close to ours. So we're in good company, I guess. You might think that. I don't know. All right. Anybody else have any? I agree kind of with Ray. We've gone through this. I don't really see anywhere else.
I just, Judy, this is Brian Capullo here again. Yeah. I was just looking at the ambulance corps, working balance of 40, and it's down now. Was that changed? Sorry, I'm cutting in and out here. I apologize.
The storm, let me go see. We put it away. I think you're down 20, but we put the other away. Let's see.
Yeah, it went into the special working balance.
Yeah,
I think it was down, Brian, from the original 100.
There you are. You asked for 100. We put 60 in your budget, and we put
20 in special working. That's right.
Yeah, I lost my special working balance line. Where'd it go? It's over here somewhere. There it is. And we put 20 in special working balance. So, of the 100 you asked for, we gave you 80. But 20 of that, you would have to come and ask us to move over.
I thought it was 40 for the asking for the working balance, not 20.
No, we did cut you 20. So you got 60, just straightforward, and then 20 we put in the special working balance for you. tagged for you. So we did catch a 20.
Okay, that's danger low. We're getting to dangerous levels there. If, God forbid, something happened with one of our rescue or our ambulance. Yeah, I'm not too happy with that number there.
All right.
Yeah, but you got $120,000 in your checking account. How much can a blown motor cost?
All right, anybody else? Okay, you guys ready to adjourn?
Actually, Manchester, we'll go Thursday with Thursday. The vote, Monday with the public, Monday with the, Thursday, Friday. We can do Monday for the public hearing, Monday for the final vote.
Are you picking Monday for a special reason as opposed to the Tuesday? Is it better Monday? Or?
I think we're just trying to get it done so that we have time to print the bills, you know?
So, does that work for everybody? Because we'll definitely need a caucus for Thursday night. We've been really good. And then, can everybody do Monday next week? Is there anybody who can't do Monday? Okay, I guess we're good.
I just want to, Madam Chair.
Yes.
I just want to clarify. So your Thursday will be to adopt the preliminary.
Yes.
Then Monday for the public hearing, and then what day to adopt?
I think we do it following the public hearing.
Oh, the same day. Okay. I just want to make sure, because it was hard to hear. There was a couple people talking at the same time.
Okay. And we've done that before. Okay. I don't remember which year we did that. It seemed to work fine. So.
That's fine.
It's
actually
better to refresh in our minds. If they bring a good point, then we're not going to forget it.
Right. So, but 6 o'clock on Monday then?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Judy, what's Thursday going to be?
We're going to do the preliminary vote.
Okay. 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock. All right. Unless I hear otherwise, maybe I'll ask for, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
No move.
Who was that, Jim?
Yep.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Chris? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any
thank
opposed?
You, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Okay. We are adjourned at 7:24. Thank you, everybody.
We appreciate it.
Thanks.